Thanks for joining us today. Our church exists to give everyone, everywhere, every reason to know Jesus. You can learn more by connecting with us on Facebook at Journey Fellowship Denton. Thanks again for joining us and enjoy today's message.
I want you to take your Bibles real quick with me in John chapter 10, verse 10. I'm going to read a scripture that's very familiar with probably everybody who has ever attended church at one point or another. The scripture that Jesus speaks is a scripture about a thief. And he says this in John 10:10. He says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and have it to the full," or more abundantly. So the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus says, "I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." In John chapter 12, verse 39, the scripture says, as Jesus is speaking, he says, "Understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into." I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, there's a thief in your house. There's a thief in your house. Shannon and I had been married about a year, and I got a frantic phone call, and she was on the phone. She's saying, "You got to get home quick. Come home now." I was at the office. I immediately ran, jumped in my car, drove home as fast as I could without getting a ticket. I got there. I pulled up. Shannon was not herself. She was upset, visibly upset, mentally. I could tell she was just distraught and upset. And as I looked at my house, I realized she had gone to the neighbors. I said, "What's the problem?" She said, "Someone's been in our house. A thief has been in our house." I said, "How do you know?" She said, "When I came home from lunch, I opened the front door. And when I opened the front door, I just had this strange feeling that somebody had been there." Has anybody ever felt that way before? Somebody has been here, or someone is here that shouldn't be here. And she said, "I opened the door, and as I began to walk in, I immediately noticed the kitchen." And she said, "I saw glass all over the floor. The back door was open. As I turned and looked at the living room, there were dresser drawers that had been carried from the bedroom and dumped in the living room. As I walked briefly through the house," she said, "I saw it was just ransacked. People had pulled out things out of our closet, our dresser drawers, and as I walked through it, I saw it all for myself. The garage door was open. Things that were on the shelves in the garage were thrown all over the place. Our house had been invaded." For a while, it took Shannon several weeks, even months, for her to really feel comfortable. Because if you've ever had a thief steal something from you, it causes this anxiety in your life to think, "I never want to have that happen again." You know what I'm talking about? If someone takes something from you, if you're like me, it makes you mad. You have no right to be around my stuff. You don't have any right to be in my house. You don't have any right to get into my car. And that's the mentality that I want you to have today as you leave this service. That when the thief comes to your house, when he comes on the job with you, when he walks into the classroom with you, when he walks into your bedroom, that you stand up and you say, "You have no right to what I have in my life and in my house." Father, bless your word this morning. Stir our hearts in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. So let's ask the question, how does a thief get into your house? This thief that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy, how does he get in your house in the first place? I mean, Jesus said that if you had known that the thief was coming, you wouldn't have let your house be broken into. So how does a thief get in? Well, one way a thief gets in is that he forces his way in. And we've seen this. They'll take a pry bar, or they'll just bust out the glass, or they'll just press their way in. But I want you to think about it in the spiritual form and not just someone breaking into your house or into your car. The enemy of your soul will force his way into your life. He doesn't have to be invited. You don't have to put a sign out that says, "Devil, please steal everything that I have." You don't have to do that. You don't have to create a billboard to say, "Please, everyone who wants to rob me, come." He will come anyway. And the reason why he does that is because he knows that he can take what you have if he forces himself on your life and you allow him. You see, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 29, he said, "How can anyone enter a strong man's house and carry off his possessions?" Now, let me just pause for a second. Who is the strong man here? Are we talking about just the enemy? You know, I've read the Bible, and the Bible tells me that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So when the thief comes to your house, you know what he's got to first do? He's got to deal with the strong man. He's got to deal with the strong woman that is the child of God that lives in your house. In order for him to steal, he has to tie you up, my friends. Jesus said he's the first, the strong man has to be tied up and before his possessions can be carried away. You know, the Bible makes it clear that we as believers, that we can get so entangled in the things of life and in the things of the world that Jesus uses this parable in Matthew chapter 13 to describe how thorns grow up in the lives of men and women. And all of a sudden, the things that surround us, the busyness of life, the cares of life, the worries of life, the duties of life, the difficulties of living life, the duties and difficulties of raising families, of maintaining a lifestyle that we believe that we should have, all of those things just begin to grow around us until it's impossible for us to move because those thorns begin to squeeze out the strength that we have. Let me tell you, friends, if you allow thorns to grow up in your life, if you allow the world to wrap itself around you, the enemy will come in and there will be a thief that will enter your house uninvited. But because he has bound the strong man that's there, he will choke you out and force you into submission. And he'll take everything you have. You see, if you don't secure yourself and realize that living for the Lord and the life that God has given you is not a game, he'll steal from you all day long. You have to have the strength of the Holy Spirit in your life to be able to break the grip of the enemy that tries to come and to destroy you. Remember the story of Samson. What did Samson do? Samson had Delilah tie him in ropes. She tied him in vines. She had all types of things. This man who's supposed to be so strong. But it wasn't the ropes or the vines that bound him. It was the arrogance of his heart. Thinking, hey, nothing can affect me. The world can't take me out. A thief can't steal from me. Let me tell you, the thief will force his way into your life. He will force his way into your family. He'll force his way into your livelihood if he can. And he will tie you up and bind you with the things of the world as they wrap their tentacles around you to get your mind off of what he is stealing right from underneath your nose. How else does a thief enter? Well, sometimes we invite him in. Sometimes we do. We invite thieves in knowingly. It's like this. As you serve the Lord, sometimes we know what we are supposed to do, but we don't do it. And we know what we're not supposed to do, and we do it anyway, John. We do it because we think that we've got everything under control and that it's not going to affect us. And what we are actually doing is we are inviting the enemy to come into your life and to steal and to kill and to destroy the life that Jesus has given you. James tells us in chapter 4, verse 17, he says, "Anyone who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins." Now, I know that's not a popular word. It's not a popular word in churches. It's not a popular word that gets preached a whole lot. We talk about making mistakes. But my friend, as I shared with you a few weeks ago, we are not mistakers. We are sinners. And sinners are the ones that are saved by grace. We allow the enemy in. James 1:15 says, "After desire has conceived, It gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. We actually invite death into our life when we fail to resist temptation and sin. We invite the enemy to come and knowingly come in and steal our joy, to steal our happiness, to steal everything that we care so much about. We allow the enemy to come in because we rightfully and understandably, we believe that what we're doing doesn't matter. But my friends, everything you do, everything you say, every thought that you have, Jesus said, that all matters. Don't allow the enemy a foothold to get in. Don't invite him in. Unknowingly, we can invite a thief in. It's possible. It's possible for you to invite a thief into your life and not even realize it. You can make an assumption that everything is okay, but can I just tell you that everything in this life that the world sets before you has an agenda? You know that. You're all smart people. Everything that you see on television, everything that you read, everything has an agenda. It's causing you and forcing you to try to think a certain way or to believe a certain truth or untruth, to believe or to think or to feel a certain way. Everything has an agenda, and sometimes we can unknowingly invite the thief into our life by not securing our thoughts, not securing our mind, not securing our emotions with the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6 says that there are some people who worm their way into homes and they gain control over weak-willed women. It could be men, it could be children, but they gain control over them. Why? Because unknowingly we allow things into our home. We allow things into our life. Friends, you have been given the opportunity to be the gatekeeper of your life. You decide what you get to see through your eyes. You decide what you get to listen to. You get to decide what comes into your home and into your family. And friends, if you're not making the right choices, you are inviting the thief to come in and to steal everything that you have. There's a thief in your house, and some of it is because you've invited him into your house. You've allowed him to come in. 2 John chapter or verses 7 through 11, he says, many deceivers who do not acknowledge Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh have gone out into the world. Any such person is a deceiver and the Antichrist. That spirit is in the world today. So watch out that you don't lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully, because anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. That's sobering. That's truthful. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not take him into your house and welcome him. Anyone who welcomes him shares in his wicked word. Friends, what John is saying, he's saying, don't entertain the words of those who pull you away from the truth of God. You are the average of the people that you hang around with. You will become like them. You will begin to think like them and talk like them and believe like them if you allow them to speak into your life. Be careful who you surround yourself with, because you may unknowingly be inviting a thief into your house to steal the truth away from you. How else do you let a thief in? Well, you can leave the door open. Just leave the door open for him. You give him an inch and he'll take a yard. Several years ago, I had my pickup parked in my driveway. I had some tools. I had some electronics in there. And I remember coming out that morning, I went to the pickup, opened my door, and I couldn't remember if I had locked it or I didn't, because it just opened. I opened the door, and immediately I saw the console up. I knew someone's been in my truck. Looked around the back seat, my tools were gone. Had a couple of speakers sitting back there. that I was going to actually install at the church, they were gone. And then I realized I forgot to lock my truck last night. I didn't lock the door. And so I called the police, and they come and did a report, and they said, you know what we found out? We found this out, that there's a group of thieves that's going through town, and they're not busting windows, and they're not like jimmying doors. All they're doing is walking down the street at night and going into the driveways of cars, and they're just checking the doors to see if they're unlocked. They're just checking to see if it's open. And if they see something in the vehicle that they want, they just open it up, take it. It says it's the easiest theft that these guys can do, and all they're doing is just checking the doors. Friends, we as believers need to make sure we check the doors before we go to sleep at night. We need to start checking the doors. We need to make sure that we're not allowing some things into our life that will allow the sacred things in our life to become common. You see, that's what happened. That's why I didn't lock my door. I thought, nah, it's no big deal. This is a safe neighborhood. There's nobody going to break into my vehicle. Nobody's going to steal my stuff. Who wants these old tools? Well, let me tell you something. Somebody evidently did. I hope they installed those speakers in their church. Maybe they needed them worse than we did. I left the doors unlocked. You know, sometimes we can get very reckless as believers. We can get reckless and irresponsible, and we can think it won't happen to me. But my friend, as soon as you say those words, that's when the thief shows up in your house. He'll force his way in. We can invite him in, or he can be let in because the door is not safely secured and locked. Let me tell you something. The thief is coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, you need to know that there is a thief that's coming. And my friends, today, I want you to just think about it. Is there a thief in your house? Is there a thief in your house? And if there is, what is it, Pastor, that he's really trying to steal? What does he want? Y'all couldn't see that, but that was a spider. I don't really want to be rebaptized in the Holy Spirit because I had a spider get on my face, so I'd just rather do it the biblical way. What does a thief plan to steal? Let me just give you a few things. If you're a note taker, here's just five things that the thief wants to steal from your life. Number one, he wants to steal your family. I said the thief wants to steal. He wants to take your family. He wants to steal your marriage. He wants to steal your children. He wants to steal from you and laugh as he goes by. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? How can a thief come in and steal my family? Well, let me just give you a little example. Every week, it just seems that you have a hard time figuring out why your voices of your husband and your wife, you figure out why your voices always seem to get raised during every conversation. Everything that you say to one another turns into an argument. There's conflict every time you speak to one another. Friends, there's a thief in your house. My kids don't seem to want to obey. Every time I try to talk to them, they just turn and go the other way. They ignore me. They act like they're not listening. They don't care. They do their own thing. Friends, there's a thief in your house. He's wanting to steal your family. He's coming after your children. And can I say, in this generation, our young people, there is a high price on their heads. The world is throwing everything it can. The enemy wants to steal everything it can from their young lives so that they lead unproductive, terrible, difficult lives because the enemy steals everything from them. The enemy wants to steal your family. He wants to steal your future. Young person, hear me today. If you're in college, listen to me. 15 seconds of stupid can ruin your life. Mom and dad, 15 seconds of stupid can ruin your life. And let me tell you something, most of us are real good at stupid. We got that down. We can do it. You don't have to show me. I'm good at stupid. And 15 seconds of it can ruin your life. It will mar you. It will steal you of your joy. It will steal you of your future. It will steal you of your dreams. And if you allow the enemy, he will take it from you. The enemy wants to steal your spiritual zeal. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, the Apostle Paul says, never be lacking in zeal. That word in the Greek is spoude, which means an eagerness. Never be lacking with an effort to work hard. This I'm eager to serve God. If you are less eager to serve God today than you were yesterday, friends, the enemy is stealing your spiritual zeal. He says, but keep your spiritual fervor. I love that word. In the Greek, it means to bring to a boil or to bubble over. To bubble over. Some of you are still sitting on simmer. And some of you still, you just got out of the freezer. You're still in defrost mode. Paul says, don't let the thief steal your zeal. Don't let him steal your spiritual fervor. Don't let him stop the bubbling over of your life. Don't let him stop the worship that is extravagant. Don't let him cut your joy in half so that you can only worship with one hand. You want to go back to two hands. You want to begin to worship. Let the bubble begin to flow over, my friends. And if you can't worship God in that form, the thief has stolen your spiritual zeal. Thief wants to steal your spiritual appetite. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Can I just say there's way too many anorexic Christians out there. We need to get back to the buffet. We need to get back to the appetite where the things of God matter more than anything else in my life. Where seeking the face of God is an enjoyment for me. Where worshiping God and coming to church and seeing God move in a powerful way. Where that is the focus of our life. Forget the Dallas Cowboys. They're going to win or lose if they even play today. My focus today is, Lord, I want to celebrate you. I want to celebrate your grace. I want to celebrate what you've done in my life. I want to celebrate, Lord, because I am hungry for a move of God in me. As I've been saying the last few weeks, I believe God is priming this community for a move of God. I want this church to be a part of it. But the move of God begins in you. And God's saying, I'm ready to move. I want you to move. I want you to move toward the buffet of God's ever-pervading spread that He wants to lay in front of you. Oh, come on, friends. We need to pull up to the table and start eating of the things of God again. To start hungering and thirsting for righteousness. The enemy wants to steal your faith. He'll lie to you about your faith. He'll tell you just to go back. But he doesn't tell you what that return to your former condition looks like. But Jesus said in Luke 11:26, he says that when a spirit comes out of the wicked, that seven others will enter. And that the final condition of the man is worse than he was when it was at the first. For people who fall away from God and their hearts become calloused. The thief steals all of their spiritual fervor, all of their appetite. And he steals the faith that they have in God because he begins to make that person question, well, God, I don't know if you're really all you say you are. The thief wants to steal your family, your future. Your zeal, your appetite, your faith. And he's circling your life like he was walking through this room this morning, wanting to come in and take everything you have. But we need to do whatever it needs to be done to keep him out. And I want to just wrap up with these things. With these thoughts, how can we protect ourselves from getting robbed? How can I protect myself from being robbed? You got plenty of time, Leslie. If you're a note taker, number one, how do I keep the thief out of my house? If there's a thief in your house, the first thing you do is you turn the lights on and you leave them on. Turn the lights on. Turn the lights on. Let the light shine. It's kind of funny when Shannon and I were dating, I would drive up into the parking or into the driveway of her mom and dad's house. I'd pull in, you know, And, you know, her curfew, I knew when her curfew was. I know when my curfew was. So you always plan to have that extra car time, right? Yeah. Yeah. You already, now, wait. You know, let's keep it PG. This is church, okay? All right, come on. Some of y'all looking around like, I know exactly. The car, you got the car time. So I'd pull into the driveway, and her driveway was kind of behind the house. So I'd pull around the side of the house, we'd pull into the back. And that's when old Smooth Scott, he already had that CD ready to go. And then, I know you did not just say that. No, I did not have 8 tracks in my car. And then I turn it on, it'd be, "You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration." And then that was this. You got to be smooth. How are you? And your voice changes.
Hope you had a good time tonight.
You see, I can preach in Texan. But car time, I go into something totally different. All right, enough of that. Anyway, we'd be sitting there, and I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. This is great. And just about the moment, I'm moving across the console. Bam! 40 million watts of light come on from her mom's switch that she turns on. That she's got these floodlights on the back of the garage that just shine, and it's right in my car. And I'm like this, like the moment is ruined. That stopped the feeling. Why? Because the lights got turned on. And her mom wouldn't just turn the lights on when it was like 1 minute till. She'd turn the lights on and blink them. It was crazy. I'm like, what am I? Am I at the circus? Is it the state fair? If you want to keep the thief from invading your life, you have to turn the lights on and you have to keep them on. All through this chapter, in Luke chapter 12, Jesus is discussing this whole idea of what a person needs to be doing. And in Luke 12, verse 1, he says, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy." Let the light of Jesus come into your life and leave it on. Don't be one person on Sunday and somebody else on Tuesday. Come on, somebody. If you've committed yourself to Jesus, be that person today. Not just when you're shouting and dancing and clapping, but on Thursday when everybody's chewing you out and you're getting a good cussing over the phone. Keep shouting and dancing and clapping. Be that person that the lights stay on. Don't react. Don't be that person. Don't be a hypocrite. Because usually the fence riders that try to ride in the middle and the backsliders are usually the same people. Oh, that was good right there. The people that try to ride the fence and the people that backslide, that fall back, that go back on their faith in God, that fall away from church and you don't even see them anywhere. It's usually the same people, because the most miserable Christian is a Christian that tries to ride the middle of the fence. Serve the world, serve Jesus, and try to hold that and negotiate that. You will fall and you will break your neck if you try to do it that way. You will be miserable. You don't play a football game and just play till halftime and walk off. Well, great job, guys. We're going to go do something else. You play the full game. Turn the lights on. Leave them on, and the thief will stay away from you as he knows you have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. No matter what you do, I won't turn back. I've decided. Second thing is you have to keep the thief out. Listen to this. You have to get rid of a victim mentality. If you don't want to get robbed, you have to dump this victim mentality. Look what he says in Luke chapter 12, verse 7. Jesus says these words. He talks about the cares of the world and all these other things. And Jesus says this in verse 7. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Friends, you don't have to be victimized by a thief that comes to steal from you in your life. Quit walking around believing that the promises of God are only going to last for a little while, or that God is going to fail you in some future moment or problem, or that the things that God is placing in your life that he's going to pull back like some stingy giver. He's going to pull it back. He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows the hairs on your head, and for some of us, it doesn't take him long to count. He knows everything about you. He knows the good, he knows the bad, and he cares for you anyway. So he said, look, don't be afraid. I know everything there is to know about you in your life. You don't have to play like a victim. You are an overcomer. You're not the victim. You're not the rear end. You're the head end. You are victorious, friend. Don't let the thief convince you that he deserves to rob you. Don't let the world tell you that you deserve to feel a certain way. Don't act like someone owes you something. You are the giver because Jesus has given to you, and so you pass on to him. I want you to remember this. This is a principle that I live by in my life, one of the many things that I have reduced life to. Life is 10% what happens to you and 90% how you respond to it. Life is only 10% what really happens. College student, 10% of life is just about the stuff that happens to you at college. 90% is how you're going to respond to that. Young person, how are you going to respond? That's the big part of life. So don't be a victim. If you live with a victim mentality, you will be victimized all your life. Number three, how do you keep the thief away? Understand that courage always brings backup. Jesus said in Luke 12, 8 and 9, he says, I tell you, whoever acknowledged me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. You know, it's funny, as soon as you begin to stand up to a thief or to a bully, how weak they get. You notice that? Have you noticed that as soon as you begin to take your stand against the devil, the atmosphere in your life begins to change? Conversation in your home begins to change? As soon as you stop from that conversation that you're having with your wife or your husband, and you just stop and you just say, you know what? We need to understand what this really is. And when you recognize that thief, and you have the courage to say, let's just stop and pray right now before this goes any further. Have you noticed how the atmosphere and the conversation and the attitude of everybody around changes? Because courage brings reinforcements. Because the Lord says, you start acknowledging me. Guess what? I'm going to start acknowledging you. You start acknowledging my presence, and I'll start acknowledging you. I don't think you're getting that. If you'll start acknowledging what God wants to do in your life, God is going to start doing those things in your life. He wants to do things in your life that you are not seeing, that you're not don't have the courage yet to stand up. But I want you to understand, God knows the plans he has for you. Plans not to harm you, as the prophet said, but plans to prosper you and to give you hope and to give you a future. Acknowledge what God wants to do. Have the courage to begin to stand up and say, this is what God says. This is what he wants in my life. And courage just changes all that. Courage changes the whole atmosphere because courage brings reinforcements. Number four. you want to keep the thief out, you have to understand that tomorrow won't help you, but today can save your life. Tomorrow won't help you, but today can save your life. Jesus begins talking in Luke chapter 12 about a man telling all of the things that he's going to do. And in a course of three verses, he says, I will do this five times. I'm going to build barns, and I'm going to build this, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to do this, and I will do that, and I'll do all of these things. When I get all this done, it's going to be grand and it's going to be great. And then Jesus responds, but God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? All of that stuff that you all are planning, that you're planning on doing, and this plan and that plan, that's all tomorrow. But tomorrow can't help you. But today can save your life. If there's a thief in your house, you don't wait till tomorrow to make a change. You do that change today. Are you hearing me, church? If you're getting robbed, today, don't say, well, next week when I come to church, I'm going to try to deal with this. You know, I mean, there's things going on in my home. You know, I need to get a grip. Here's what I'm going to do. I will. Tomorrow won't help you, friends. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. If you want to be saved from the thief, from the enemy that comes to attack you and to destroy your life, today is the day that you change. Today is the day that you give it to Him. Today is the day that you call in heaven and you say, come and help me. Tomorrow won't help you, but today is a day that can save your life. Number five, you have to keep your valuables where thieves can't steal them. That's pretty logical. You want to keep the thief away? Then put the things that are valuable out of reach. A thief can't steal what he can't reach, right? Jesus said in Luke 12, verse 33, he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven. Can we all say that? Treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, that's where your heart's going to be. You know what? We have to remember that life is not about the things that you can accumulate. Life is more than what's sitting in your garage. Life is more than your address. Life is more than what you have in your bank account. The most valuable things in life are what you put in heaven. The most valuable things in life, young person, 20-year-old, that thinks they're going to live forever, the most valuable thing in life is what you place on the other side. That seems so far away that you don't even think it'll ever come to you. Give it 40 years. And you start seeing a little clearer that life is less about the things we see around us now, but the things that we don't see that's coming. Put your treasure where thieves can't steal them. And then finally, if you want to keep the thief away from you, you have to expect a visit from the Lord. Look at verse 46. It says, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and an hour that he is not aware. I don't want anyone in this room to allow the enemy to steal from you another day. Some of you have just been emotionally a basket case for a while. Because you've just one thing right after another, it's just happened in your life. And the enemy he's gone into so many different rooms of your house. He's gone into your bedroom. He's gone into your kids' room. He's gone into the living room where you have friends and fellowship. He's gone into the office where the finances are all done. He stole from you, and your joy is on running on empty, and it's just hard for you to have another. It's just difficult. I don't want anybody to continue to allow the thief to steal from you. So let me just say this. The master is going to come. And he's going to come, Jesus said, at a time that nobody is expecting. Now, how do you want to be ready when the master comes? I want to be ready when the Lord comes. Do you know the best way to keep a thief out? If you're expecting the Lord to come, then you'll always be ready if the thief should come. If you're always ready for the Lord, for the owner of the house, if you're always ready for the owner to come, who owns everything, you'll automatically be ready if the thief tries to come. Because I'm prepared. Jesus said, if the owner of the house knew the day that the thief would come, would he not be ready? So stop planning for the thief. Stop planning for the thief. Are you hearing me? Stop looking at your life and wondering when the thief is going to steal what you have. Stop looking at the church. Stop looking at your spiritual well-being and wonder, wow, how long is this going to last? Start thinking, I'm expecting the Lord. I'm going to be prepared. I'm going to be ready. I'm going to be willing. When He comes, I am going to be ready. Don't plan for the thief. Plan for the Master. Let's bow our heads this morning. Lord Jesus, I thank You today for this wonderful time, Lord, we have had in Your presence. I pray that, God, that You will have spoken to us, Lord, a truth. Lord, don't allow anyone, Lord, to be abused and mistreated by the thief that comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Lord, let us not be subject anymore to his lies and his deception, to his thievery. But Lord, what You have given us, Lord, may we hold to. The salvation that You have so graciously provided, that comes not by our works, but Lord, only by Your grace. The salvation that comes through the blood of Jesus, that cleanses us and purifies us from our sin, from our past, from yesterday's. Gives us hope, gives us a future, Lord. The certainty, Lord, of knowing that, Lord, that when we lay our head on our pillow at night, that, Lord, we will meet You, Lord. If You decide to take us, Lord, the certainty, Lord, of the joy that You have placed in our life. That is the joy of our salvation. Certainty of the hope that we have. Lord, don't allow the enemy to steal that. Security, Lord, to know that You are watching over us. Father, I pray that, Lord, that You would just help us, Lord, to remove the thief, Lord, from our house. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, today's kind of all been the same message to me. And I have allowed a thief into my house. He's stolen joy. He's stolen hope. He's stolen my peace. If you're here this morning, I'd just like to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want you to be recognized this morning. You say, Pastor, that's me. I've allowed a thief. Thief has been running through my family, stealing all of these things. Thief has stolen my livelihood from me. Stolen my dreams. But today, God's word has encouraged me to remove him from my house. And I want to do that today. Maybe you need to invite Jesus into your house. Maybe you've never done that. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to come in and to make your home his home. to make your life the life that He lives through you. Maybe you've never asked the Lord to forgive you of all the things that you know that you have done that have broken His heart. That you know that He is more than willing, because He's so gracious and merciful, to come and to heal all of that brokenness and all of that sadness. Some of you guys are just filled with sadness that the world has just laid upon you. Let me tell you, it doesn't have to be that way. You don't have to live in that. That heaviness, you don't have to live under that heaviness. Life is a wonderful thing when you find Jesus, when you know Him, because every day is a new day. It's fresh. It's brand new every day. You're not looking over your shoulder because of the things that you've done, waiting for somebody to come back on you. It's fresh. It's new. Maybe you need to just ask Jesus to come into your heart today. Maybe the thief is stolen from you, and you say no more. If you're here today, you say, Pastor, would you just pray for me? Would you slip your hand up right now and just look right at me today? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Yes, I see your hands all over the room. All over the room. You've allowed. We're all that way. Yes, yes, young man. We've all allowed at some point or another a thief to just run through our house, take what he wanted. But no more. Today we say no more. No more. In just a moment, I'm going to have you to stand. And I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you have not asked Jesus to come and make your home, your life, His home, to make your life His life, that He lives through you, you have not asked Him and made Him not only the Savior of your life, which saves you from your past and saves you from death, but He becomes the Lord of your life, which means tomorrow He's going to be my Savior. And the next day He's going to be my Savior. And the week after that He's going to be my Savior, because He's saving me. From now on, I want you to pray a prayer with me. I want you to mean it in your heart. Because at that point, you have just exited the thief that had taken up residence in your home. Some of you, you just need to rebuke the enemy. You just need to rebuke the devourer and say, "I'm done with you. I'm tired of you stealing my joy and stealing my peace, stealing all of these things in my life that just caused me to live an unsettled, unbalanced life." You just need to stand up and say, "Lord Jesus, rebuke this thief that is. I exit him from my home." As we pray, I want you to pray that prayer. So let's all stand together. Let's pray this prayer together. Let's bow our heads. Just hold steady. Just hold steady. Children, I know that you're here with us today. Family worship. I want you to pray with me, okay? Pray it in your heart. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this moment, Lord, that we have had today. Lord Jesus, if there are those in this room, Lord, who need to invite you into their life for the first time. Lord, maybe they've never had that opportunity presented to them to know that Jesus, that you are wanting to come and to live in their life. That you're wanting to come be their Savior and their Lord. Lord, I pray that, Lord, right now they would just begin to open up their heart to you. That they would be very honest and truthful. They would just confess, Lord, right now with their mouth, Lord, that they need you. Because so far, what they have done has gotten them very little. But what you bring, Lord, is you bring grace. You give them what they don't deserve. And this morning, I pray that, Lord, that you would help them to just say, Lord, I need your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness in my life. If you need to pray that prayer, I want you to just pray that prayer. Lord, forgive me today of all that I have failed you at. Come in and be my Savior and be my Lord. If you're here this morning, I want you to pray this prayer with me. You need to remove the thief from your life. I'd like for you to lift your voice as we begin to pray. You know, if you raised your hands, church family, you didn't raise your hand, but I want you to pray that the Lord is going to help those, that the thief has been robbing them blind, that the Lord is going to give them liberty of that freedom from that thief. Lord Jesus, I pray for those, Lord, right now, God, who have for years allowed the thief to come and to steal, Lord, from their life. Right now, I rebuke the enemy, the devourer that seeks to destroy, that seeks to bring death, that seeks to bring, Lord, hopelessness and discontentment, Lord, that seeks to bring, Lord, hatred and rage. Lord, I pray that the enemy that seek to steal a livelihood, Lord, and to seek to steal dreams and futures, that he would be rebuked in the name of Jesus. Lord, we send him out. We remove him, Lord, from our lives, from deceptions, Lord, that come, from words that have been spoken over us, Lord, that invite and leave the door open. We remove him. Lord, we kick the thief from our lives. Lord, we resist him. We turn the lights on, Lord. We are not victims. We are overcomers, Lord Jesus. We expect, Lord, you to show up because we are your people, Lord. So today, Lord, rid our lives, Lord. Rid this church and anyone in it, Lord, of a thief that would steal. We take back everything the enemy has stolen from us in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. If you were blessed by this ministry, we want to encourage you to share it. And if you don't have a church home, come join us any Sunday at 10:30.